Recently, I saw for about the 12th time the movie Apollo 13, which is the story of a trip supposedly to the moon that goes bad and becomes very dangerous, and it becomes a question of whether the astronauts will even get home safely. The commander of that that mission in the movie says this about their hopes for getting home safely. He says, "All right, there's 1,000 things that have to happen in order. We are on number 8. You're talking about number 692. He was admonishing his crew not to get ahead of themselves and worry about things that were out of their control, instead focusing on exactly what was in front of them. I think it's human nature for us to try to get ahead, to anticipate, instead of focusing what's right in front of us. We often fast forward and get stuck thinking about number 692. But if we read the New Testament and the story of Jesus, we find that everything points away from any list. All of it points to one priority alone. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." So God, through Jesus, helps us realize that the list we need to get home has not 1,000 things on it, or the 613 things of the ancient Jewish law. That list doesn't even have the 10 things brought down the mountain by Moses. The list has one thing on it: love one another. And as it turns out, this commandment is not only for God's glory, but for our own peace. I believe that the most pivotal and powerful revelation of human life is this: that we find the key to the eternal in the temporal, and we find the key to the temporal in the eternal. We must look beyond time to find the secret of living within time. Let me say that another way. If we focus only on the eternal, going to heaven after this life, we lose the joy of this life. If we focus only on our own needs and desires in this life, we forfeit a chance to be with God in the here and now by loving others. So how do we find a balance of participating in the eternal in the here and now? The answer is in our gospel today. Jesus said, "Just as I have loved you, you should love one another." After all the words in the beginning of this gospel passage about glorifying, which to me sounds very confusing and something I have to sort out. It feels like I'm reading Faulkner in the Bible. But all this talk of glorifying, 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 and then it kind of distills down into this one simple thing: that we are called to love one another. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's very easy to preach about. It's very easy to say we embrace it. But here's the hard part. Love is not a concept known abstractly. It is an action lived concretely. Love will always be difficult for us. Perhaps now more than ever. There are so many differences and controversies in terms of nation, religion, gender, generation, economics, and all of us see those divisions and those differences and distinctions, and we want to make lists about who all can be included in our loving circle. The divisions are there, formed by us, human beings, to keep us safe from hurt from the others. But when we make any list at all, we are taken not closer to home, but farther from it. And so we have to acknowledge the fears that separate us from others and find ways to get past those fears. Because in doing that, we will bring the heavenly city to earth. It takes hard work to diminish the distance between self and other. We end up saying things like this, if we're truly trying, I know that you don't believe what I believe, but I love you. I know that you don't want what I want, but I love you. I know that your priorities are vastly different from my priorities, but I love you. In 1 John, we hear, we love because God first loved us. Keep in mind, it is never the other way around. There is much confusion and danger in current Christian theology, and it comes from having this statement backwards. We begin to believe, if we're not careful, that God loves us because we make the effort to love others. But it's just the opposite. God loves us, and so we love others. We are so anxious to qualify love. But God, they are so wrong. They are so misguided. They are so selfish. They are so foolish. And God asks, have you ever been wrong? Or misguided? Or selfish? So just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. This loving of other people is a decision, but it is not a one-time effort, a one-and-done kind of thing. It's a way to begin again when we hurt others or when we have been hurt. Scripture says that perfect love casts out fear, and it also casts out hurt. Because when we find a way to begin again by loving someone, by caring for someone, we reopen the door between eternity and our time, between God's city and our city. This whole idea of heaven coming to earth is the grand story told in Revelation. And one of the high points, I think the high point in Scripture, is this passage we read today, in which the writer of Revelation says, see, the home of God is among mortals. The home of God becomes manifest and evident in mortals when we love one another. Being loving human beings, using the material world as a way to manifest that love, opens repeatedly the door between the city of God and the present age. So if we think back to the movie Apollo 13 and the journey, getting home means heaven is returning to earth. Forget number 692, because the whole list is obsolete. The roots of this story of Revelation of the heavenly city coming to earth comes from a belief in ancient times that there's a perfect heavenly model for everything on earth. It was even thought that the stars of the Milky Way formed a broad street or a river through the heavenly city. How do we ourselves travel that route? How do we find heaven on earth as well as finding heaven after earth? How do we do it? Love one another. This is how, in a full revelation of God, all things are being made new. This is the shortcut from the city of humans to the city of God, from our lives in time to our lives beyond time. The Interpreter's Bible says about this passage in Revelation that we read today, the holy city is to be a city of gold. The material is to be glorified and is to become part of the sacred city. In other words, gold, symbolic here of the material things in life, is not evil in itself. In fact, through the material, the deeply spiritual can come to earth now. I will say it again. The most pivotal and powerful revelation of human experience is that the key to the eternal is in the temporal, and the key to the temporal is in the eternal. The material is to be used as an instrument of the spiritual. See, the home of God is among mortals. We no longer require a list of 1,000 things needed to get home. When we love others as God loves us, we're already home. Amen.